Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, good morning. Let's all stand together. We're going to read the Word of God. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a big shout. It was interesting to me, this being Pentecost Sunday, and some of you may know what that's all about, others of you may not. But Pentecost is basically the birth of the church. It's when all of a sudden things begin to happen, and we're going to unfold that to you today through this particular message, but there's also some things that God has in store for us as far as signs and wonders He may perform. So let's get into the Word of God, starting at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one sat upon each of them. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven.
And when the sound was heard, the multitude came together, and there were Jews, because everyone heard and speak in his own language.
Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. You heard of it. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
So they were all amazed and impressed, saying to one another, "Whatever is received."
Verse 13 together.
Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine."
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today is a day that you want to proclaim to us. Not only the fact the birth of the church, but Lord, there's some things you want to birth in us today. Lord, there's faith you want to release. There's also for those who have yet to experience the real fullness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we've experienced it when we were born again, the fact that you live inside of us. But Lord, there's an expression that you desire to have with us to take the full occupancy and full control of our lives. And Lord, we hope and pray that that will happen today in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who long to have the power and the presence of God just working so powerfully in their lives, we pray that today that something supernatural would happen. Lord, that healing would take place, deliverance would take place, all the things that your word says that would take place because the Holy Spirit is here. Lord, that those who have desired to experience that particular experience of speaking in tongues, God, will happen today. And Lord, we take all reservations off and we allow your Holy Spirit to do what he does so well. And we give you all the thanks, all the praise, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Well, there's a lot for us to talk about today, and one of the things that I desire that would happen before this service ends is that we would experience what they experienced. So what does that mean? Are you expecting all of us to act like that? I don't want you to act like that. I want you to be like that. Because here's the deal, as a matter of opening here, if there were one phrase that would summarize it, that what happened on Pentecost at the birth of the church, and this is it, they were all in. Now what does all in mean? That means, I don't know, I'm not a gambler, but I know when they're playing poker, and you have all your chips here, and you think you've got a good hand, you push it all to the table, and you're all in. Because you know you won't win. You got it all lined up. I don't know whether it's a full house good. Some of you gamblers tell me. And you want it all lined up by a suit. Is that a good thing? Four aces, is that good? Well, come on, help me. Y'all ain't been saved all your lives. See, there's one of them saying, praise God. Anyway, when you're all in, that means it's a, everything I've got right here, I'm putting it in the middle of the table because I know I'm going to win.
That's right.
But here's the deal, that many of us, because of, well, yeah, I'm going to go from this point. Anyway, many of us, when we come to church, we're not even half in. We're just kind of hoping it works out. And we can make it till 11:30, quarter to 12, and make our luncheon engagement. But I'm here to mess with you today. I'm here to open the playbook to another page that we're going to see a little bit differently. Everything they have was pushed to the center of the table. Unlike postmodern philosophy that makes allowances for personal preferences and interpretations of situations, they were submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit and how he chose to usher in the church that Jesus was going to build. I remember this happened about 10 days prior to this. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait till you're endowed with power. And nobody knew what Jesus was going to do. Nobody knew how the Holy Spirit was going to manifest himself. And he chose the most confounding representation, demonstration of power that has ever been known in history. Well, let me read through a few questions and we're going to get into the essence of all this. Number one, it's been said, if you're not hungry for God, you're full of yourself. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's true. When people are really hungry for God, all the things that the life has to offer them are just pale in comparison to that. However, we come to church many times just full of, oh, yeah, life's going good, God's going good, wife's going good, kids are going good. So I'm good. You really? You're full of yourself. That means that there's no hunger for God. Everything's fine. Let that marinate for a while and move on to the second one. Are you willing to consecrate yourself to receive the fullness of the Spirit? And we're going to talk about consecration and then also I'll move on quickly. Are you ready to dethrone yourself and enthrone Jesus? Well, those are all big things, but we serve a big God. The fullness of the Spirit will require your willingness to do something that you have never done before. Acts 2:4, we're going to reiterate this. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, here's the part that I think is going to be inclusive for all of us. Because here's the point what the Holy Spirit did on that day. Everybody say all.
Oh.
Now what does all mean?
Oh.
It means everybody. So the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing and he gave an opportunity at this particular point that everybody experienced and nobody was left out. One of the hardest things for any of us is we feel like we're just kind of selected as one of the outsiders that never gets a part of the inside. I want to let you know, today, all of you have the ability to be a total insider of what God's going to do today. Okay, I'm going one step further. All of you can and will be filled with the Holy Spirit if you allow him to do it. Whoa! He said, that's a pretty big, no, I'm not even the least bit reticent to say that. Let's get into the essence of what it says. Supernatural manifestations are the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something that just happened to me just a few moments ago. Before I went into the auditorium, I was out there sitting at the door, and a lady came up to me, and I'll be praying for her later on, or you will too. She says, several years ago, she says, I was here, and you prayed for me, and I had breast cancer, and God healed me. Oh, praise the Lord. But here's the rest of her story. She says, but I need to have prayer again today because the cancer's back, but this time it's in my liver. You would think I would be discouraged. I'm not. The same God that healed her
same God
is the same God. Spirit rise in this room and not be intimidated. It was the other Anna. How are you doing, Sherelle? We were at the meeting yesterday. She says, I'm not doing so good. I have these migraine headaches and blah, 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 this type of thing. I said, we're going to pray right now. What had happened to you? Did God touch you, baby? Did God deliver you? Come on, give a shout out to Jesus. Had never been done before. Here comes a bold thing right now. How many of you have never spoken in tongues before? This is not the insiders and the outsiders. Just raise your hand. It's okay. It's okay. This is not, you know, pass or fail. Okay? Good. Okay. So, that's one of them. But there's another group of folks in here. Spoken in tongues one time. I feel the Holy Spirit. I got news for you, baby. If you're a one-time deal, you have no special, you know, anointing. Oh, I spoke in tongues when I was 27. I've spoken in tongues since, but I feel the Spirit. No, honey. That's like saying I filled my tank one time and I've been driving ever since. You hear what I'm saying? And some of us are just that silly. I feel like the other day. I mean, what's wrong with this gas? Bang on the gas gauge. I feel it now. Honey, if you're going through life, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit every day of your life, and you need to be filled with Jesus' power and sin. So here we go. But here's the rationale of this. The tongue is the most untamable part of the body. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'll tell you why Jesus or the Holy Spirit chose your tongue. Here we go. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Ever said something, I don't know where that came from. We didn't. It came from your mouth. But you know what your mouth is attached to? Your brain. You know what your brain is attached to? Your heart, the very essence of who you are. That just slipped out. No, honey, it was there. You just get the tongue gave it a voice, that's all. Tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by H-E-double-L. I'm going to say hell. You got hell in your mouth. Woo, Lord Jesus. Are you disappointed? The reality is, that's what we're dealing with. And he chose to use the most uncontrollable part of the body to demonstrate his power and bring him glory. Now, consecration of our lives will give the Holy Spirit the right of way. And then we're going to go to the Old Testament for this, Joshua 3:5. Because we're going to talk about this whole, not concept, but principle of consecration. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That word sanctification is a word that I believe does not really risen to its full, shall I say, appreciation. Simply it means this. God will always respond with the miraculous when we choose to consecrate ourselves.
Consecrate. Let's get a little bit further. The saints have been waiting and praying and confessing and believing God to do a work in their midst. This is what we're talking about, the people in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. Consecrating yourselves is an intentional time when you say, you know what? I'm going to take this time and I'm going to get it straight. It's something you do intentionally. I'm just consecrated all along. No, you're not. You're on your cell phone all the time. You sit in the doctor's office, I can check my emails. You're doing this particular thing. Traffic's really bad. You just kind of pull aside. You are more on your cell phone than you are in the presence of Jesus. Come on, tell me I'm wrong. You're more on your cell phone than you are having devotional time with Jesus. You're more on your cell phone than you are reading the Bible. Ooh, I know it's getting rough in here. Praise God. I want you to do something right now. Everybody in this room, I want you to take 1 minute to consecrate yourself. On your mark, get set, go. Right now, right where you sit. Don't look at nobody to the right, to the left. You do it. Whatever is in your life that needs to be out of your life so you can hear all the word of God saying, God, I'm moving all this stuff. I'm focusing in on you. You got another 45 seconds left. Consecrate yourself. Means you're giving God full attention and devotion, and you're removing all the outside distractions. Still got about 30 seconds left. Jesus, I focus in on you. It doesn't matter all the things that are at home or on the job or things I'm going to do after this. Lord, I'm focusing on you for these next 30 minutes. I'm going to focus in on you. Yes. And Lord, I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus, because the expectancy in my spirit right now is that things are going to be different. In Jesus' name, amen. When you consecrate yourselves, you're giving God your full attention and devotion without any outside distraction. Consecration is an ever-deepening love for Jesus. That's what it is. It's not a program. It's not some app that you can put on. Let me pull up the consecration app. The consecration app is in your heart. It's when you make a choice saying, you know, God, you're the most important thing right now. Nothing else really matters. And so that being the case, it is blind obedience to the Spirit of God. It's a relinquishing of all our likes and preferences. Do you know what happened for those 10 days that those folks were together? There's things that they didn't like about Peter they had to get over. We talked about that last week. And if you say, well, you know, I would have entered into worship today if they sang my favorite song. Really? Or it would have been better if, you know, if they'd had done this or they had not done that. See, that's the problem. We don't come in a place where we're prepared to really worship God like he wants to be worshiped. Well, it is our total buy-in or sellout of everything for Christ. And you're going to hear that a lot today when I talk about being all in. Well, God desires to be to do a total rewrite of our life by the power of the Holy Spirit, interfaced with your humble submission to his will. I was going through the word and I came across this information that I think would be very helpful for all of us to remind us of what happened to some of the apostles. We have some information about what happened to them because they were all in, because they were all committed to God. All of those who chose to follow Jesus by the power of the Spirit paid a price for absolute surrender. I want to let you know it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Now, a little historical study. These are some of the things I pulled out. I'll just go through these real quickly. Luke was hung by the neck from an olive tree in Greece. That's what it took to be all in. How about this? Thomas, Doubting Thomas, as you might have known him, was pierced with a pine spear, tortured with red-hot plates, and burned alive in India. You talk about the ones that says, can I put my finger, or, you know, a finger in the holes in your hand, and could I put my fist in your side, then I'll believe in you. You know something? There's going to come a time that all your little flimsy unbelief, when you've lived enough life, you're going to find out that, oh my, I've totally missed it. Jesus really is who he says he is. A couple more that I'll say to you, and then we'll move on quickly. Philip was tortured and crucified because his preaching caused Hierapolis' wife to convert to Christianity. The witness that you have, are you as toxic in your witness for Christ that people don't like you because you love Jesus? Oh, everybody likes me. You're a failure. Because I'll tell you what, the Bible says those who live godly are going to suffer some persecution. Oh, everybody, like, nobody hate me. Mm-hmm. You're doing something wrong. Now, I don't say you have to be obnoxious, but I'm talking about the Word of God many times will cause people to be offended, and you're going to lose some homies. Matthew was stabbed in the back in Armenia. James was thrown off the east pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death in Mesopotamia. Matthias, the one we didn't know anything about, was stoned to death and beheaded. And lastly, Peter was crucified upside down. And the reason why he was crucified upside down, this was one of the, not only just a legend, but it was a true factor. That Peter somehow, when he was going to be crucified, he says, wait a minute, this is the Jesus that I just denied I even knew. He says, don't crucify me like him, crucify me upside down. Because I was kind of upside down when, you know, I denied him. And so by his request, he was crucified upside down. He says, I don't deserve to die like Jesus died. And John the Beloved was the only one to die of a natural cause because he survived his execution and was banished to the island of Patmos. Let's move on. So we must be fully sold out to experience the fullness of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says this, that we read through this. So they solemnly were amazed and perplexed at the same time, says, what does all this mean? And others were mocking, said, they are full of new wine. Well, there will be either a positive or a negative response to those who've been filled with the Spirit. Either people going to love you or they're going to hate you. Very few of them say, he's okay. I believe that being radically filled with the Spirit is not something we do to persecute people or to cause people to offend, but it's either you're hot or you're cold. What does God say about lukewarm folks? Anybody remember? Do not give me lukewarm coffee. Thank you very much. It doesn't work for me. Either we're having iced coffee or hot coffee. Okay? Luke can't handle it for me. Here we go. We must totally buy in to all the Lord has for us and be completely sold out. And being filled with the Spirit costs nothing, but demands everything. I want to tell you, every person in this room is a candidate to be filled with the Spirit, but I want to tell you, it won't cost you one thing, but it'll demand everything about you. See, that's kind of an oxymoron. Well, it is. Because you got to be all in. Oh, just give me enough Holy Spirit to be miserable. Or just so I can have some idea of what Jesus may want me to do. I'm not willing to do it, but I just want to just kind of peek behind the curtain, see if it's there. That's not working. People who observe us must answer as to why we are, or as to who we are by the power of the Spirit of God. So that means that we must be willing to remove everything that will keep us from being who God has designed us to be. Now, here's some questions for you, right where you sit. You don't get to leave the room. You get to answer them yourself. You don't have to write it down on paper. But I'm gonna ask them very directly to you, and I guarantee you, as soon as I ask this question, you will know the answer. This is not one where you have to get an open book or you have to go, you know, Google and find the answer, okay? Here we go, question number one. What do you need to give up? Why do you ask me that? I told my friend about that last night. You know what you need to give up. You know what's holding you back from truly being totally filled with the Spirit of God and being anointed and powerfully used by the Spirit of God, don't you? If I'm telling the truth, say amen. And if you don't want to hear it, say oh me. There you go. Second question. I only have three. They're enough to take care of it anyway. What is between you and God? I'm going to give you a few suggestions for those of you that may be a little confused. Many of us have not been able to move forth in our relationship with God because we're holding on to things or of disappointments that happened years ago. Or as soon as God finds me a good husband, I'm going to serve him 100%. Really. So God says, you bring him here, I'm all in. Really. Plan on being lonely. Because you can't blackmail God into doing what you want him to do. You know what you have? You've made an idol out of something that you put before God. And you said, but feel me, your spirit right now. Feel me. Why? Oh, well, anyway. We must be willing to give everything away for Jesus. Now, this is where it gets really, really deep. Because we must learn the difference between the power of God and the power of self-will. And I got two technical words for you. The word that the Bible uses to describe the power of the Holy Spirit is dunamis, which means supernatural power, or it's the power to do things beyond our natural ability. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Dunamis power came upon them, and they were able to speak in languages contrary to what they learned. That's kind of interesting. Languages beyond what we've learned. My brother, come help me. I gave you something I want you to read for us. He's going to read something by the... I know he's going to help me out right here. He's on this mic. Just read that for us, please.
In French. Aujourd'hui, c'est le jour que j'ai choisi pour toi de marcher libéré et le pouvoir d'être témoin parmi partout où tu vas. Tu ne devras plus être arrêté dans la captivité du péché, de ton passé et de la désobéissance, mais de proclamer ma vie dans ta marche d'humilité et de purité. Le pouvoir de l'ennemi sera défié par ton engagement dans la lecture et de la parole et prier dans la foi, afin de voir son royaume venu et son désir accompli. Aucune arme formée contre moi ne prospérera pas. Amen.
What do you say? Unless you know French. Do I have any French speaking people here? Yeah, I know. I know she knows. Don't you be telling them either. He said, oh, that just sounded lovely. You have no clue. I'm just here to help you today. But there was somebody on the day of Pentecost that spoke French or something like that, and this is what they heard. This is a day that I have chosen for you to walk in freedom and in power to be my witness wherever you go. And you shall no longer be held captive to your past sin and disobedience, but you will proclaim my word as you walk in humility and purity. The power of the enemy will be defeated by your commitment to reading my word and praying in faith to see my kingdom come and my will being done. No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's what he said. Do you know why you're applauding right now? Because you know what he said. I want to tell you, God has supernatural power to use you to deliver a message to someone who needs to hear the word of the Lord. And you say, why is that relevant? God wants to use you beyond you. Because he said, oh, that's beautiful language. And didn't have a clue of what he said. But now that you know what he said, does freedom come to you? Because I believe there's some people here that need that message where it says, I've chosen you to walk in freedom. Anybody want freedom? Come on, wave your hand at me, okay? Anybody says that want freedom from your past sins and disobedience? Come on, wave your hand at me. Okay, what about this? The power of the enemy will be defeated by your commitment to reading the Word of God. How many need the devil to be defeated in your life? Come on, say a shout out. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Stick with me. We're getting close to what we're going to experience today. So we learned that. So there's another word that you have. It's called exousia. It means the willpower not to do things that we have the ability to do. Just the opposite. It's the willpower not to do the things that we have the ability to do. Now, for some of you that are on a diet, it's to leave that chocolate cake alone. Leave it there. Leave it on the plate. You like them ribs? He said, no, my doctor said, I can't have them ribs. Something inside you just rises up and says, well, one rib won't hurt. We must realize the true essence of sin that will keep us from relying on the power of God in our lives. Now, here's a couple of things I want to tell you about sin, and it will help us as we're moving forward in this discussion. Sin, basically, it is temporary insanity with eternal consequences. You have lost your mind. And it's not you didn't know any better. I just couldn't help myself. That's a lie. Oh, there's more. Let's give you a couple more. It's, the true essence is it's not worth it, and we know it, but we still do it anyway. Give me a couple of examples. Samson. Samson knew he was not supposed to have his hair cut. He knew he was not supposed to be hanging around. He wasn't supposed to be drinking and carrying on. And he finds Delilah, and he is just a mess waiting for someplace to happen. And he starts playing with his gifts. Oh, no. And finally, she gets a little laid up, drunk, and this type of thing. He says, well, if you cut my hair, my power is gone. You keep playing with it long enough, you're going to tell somebody what you never should tell. How about Esau? Esau comes in from out of the field. And sure, his brother was kind of a conniving dude, but he thinks he's going to die. Oh, give me that little bowl of lentils and this type of thing. I'm going to die. I've been out in the field hunting all day long. He says, sure, man, I'll give it to you. Give me your birthright, man. You can have all you want. I'll put a little sausage in there for you. Hmm? And you know what that clown says? He says, birthright ain't going to do me no good. I'm hungry. Give me the food, man. Take that birthright. Give me the food. And you may laugh at him, but some of you have done the exact same thing. You've sold yourself down the river just for a moment of pleasure, and now you don't even remember what it was. Jesus, help us. Let me make it a little, what about Judas? Judas was a rascal from the very beginning, stealing money and doing all kinds of things. It's his little 30 pieces of silver and this type of thing. And all of a sudden, oh, no, I don't want this money. And he goes out and hangs himself. Really? Bad decisions usually lead to worse decisions. I'm getting close to winding this up, but I need to take you another place. God cannot give back what you don't give up. Isn't that profound? Genesis chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. I'll just take this little part of the story because it tells the story pretty well. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram. He offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I want you to pay very close attention to these next few moments that we'll spend together, because God will require of us things that are dear to us for our sake, not his. God's got all the cattle. God's got all the people that he needs and this type of thing. He doesn't need your stuff. It's that you need to give it up. You'll understand that a little bit more as you process this. God will provide everything you need to fulfill his will in your life. Furthermore, we must not withhold what we believe is our very best from the Lord. That's where the issue is. And this is going to get real tight here in a moment when they start talking about the stuff that you folks love the most. You know what it's called? Money. We already took the offering, so you can't accuse me of that. So, but I'm going to talk about you. Or us. Because here's what happens. It says, we must not withhold what we believe is our very best from the Lord. I want to ask you this question. You don't have to answer it out loud with hand or anything else. But when you gave your offering today, was your best offering, or was it you just kind of calculating, yeah, I got those 10%, da-da-da-da, dot the I, this type of T, and you say, I'm all done. You're feeling really religious. And God told you, he said, I want $100 more today. He said, you start rebuking the devil. He said, because God would never want more money. I mean, why would he want more money? God's got all the money. No, it's for your sake God does that type of stuff. So you can find out where your, the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And if you feel you got to hold on to that $100, you know, just there's where your heart is. You got $100 with a heart. Lord have mercy. Ain't going to get you far, that's I know. No good thing with God withhold from those whom he loves. Well, we must choose to walk in humility and purity. You can be saved without suffering, but you cannot be sanctified without suffering. What does that mean? It means we must choose to glorify God no matter what happens in our lives, and God desires to fill us with his Spirit for the benefit of those around us. Now let's close in on this and circle around it and see if we can get to a place where we can really identify with this. We are worthy only when we are willing to share with others. And we go a little bit further into Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21, and then verse 38. I'll read this for you. Now Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed these words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Going on. And on my servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven and above, and signs in the earth and beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon turned into blood, before the coming of that great day, awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what? They asked the question, what do we do? So repent. I kind of wish I had a tank up here today. I'd throw you in it. Well, that's another story. We are worthy only when we are willing to share with others. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, and this is a very definitive statement. Your net worth is the sum total of all you've given away. Huh? I mean, you know, I got stocks and things in there, I got my 401k and this type of, that's my net, no, it's not. Your net worth is the total of all you have given away. Because if you're still holding it up for you, you could die tomorrow and it ain't going nowhere. You say, oh, I never thought of it that way. I know you never would. Because you're so busy, too busy holding on to it. I dare you to sow some of what God's given you into something else and watch God give you more than that. And you'll say, God, please, I don't have time to get rid of it. Because your net worth is the sum total of what you've given away. So you get more and more and more. There's a guy in the Bible that did that, built bigger barns. Oh man, I got so much stuff. I got this barn here. I'll build bigger silos and barns to hold all my stuff. And then God says, you fool. Tonight your soul's gonna be required of you. And do you know, all the stuff stayed and he went. See, all you folks just holding on to stuff. You got more stuff you will ever use. Help me, Jesus. What you don't share is lost forever. Every day should be like your first day and your last day of life. You only get one at a time. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. And God said, do it today. Don't be presumptuous about what God's telling you to do. You must make every day count. We must overcome the enemy's lie that God is holding out on you. And you know, I found out there's a reason why people, you know, don't do a lot of things if they believe this thing that God just isn't being fair with them. You do not have to make your own way in the world. You must submit to God everything that you have, and the Holy Spirit will direct your life. Let me just use one example in the Old Testament, brothers, Cain and Abel. And this is the first example, but probably the most primary example of what it means to be, you know, to be devoted to God. God said he wants to sacrifice. And Abel went and got his best. And Cain pulled up some turnip greens, rutabagas, a few potatoes. Here you go. Cain gave what was left over. Abel was selective and gave his best. If we are all in, we'll think about long-term results. The result is to come as the Spirit chooses. The Holy Spirit was in lockstep with the will of God, and he chose the most unlikely person to be the spokesman that particular day, which happened to be Peter for the church. He says, what does all this stuff mean? This people speaking in tongues and this type of thing, all this stuff going on. He says, this is that which Joel spoke about years and years and years ago. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I'm going to usher in the church. It's going to be powerful. And everyone that calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. And they said, what should we do? Repent. Be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3. Pretty simple. Let me read you this story, then I'm going to close things off here. In 1976, Apple Incorporated, that little small company that's worth $551 billion. Now, was co-founded by three men. Steve Jobs, who eventually became the chairman and CEO, and is the most famous of the three. And then you've probably heard of Steve Wozniak, which is the mastermind who invented the Apple I and Apple II computers. But you probably haven't heard of the third member of the Apple Trinity, Ronald Wayne. It's Wayne who sketched the first logo, created the first manual, and wrote the original partnership agreement. Ronald Wayne was 10% shareholder in Apple. There are now 940 million shares when this was written of Apple stock at approximately $500 per share. So that 10% stake would probably end up to be, now it'd be $57 billion. But less than 2 weeks after getting his 10% share, Ron Wayne sold it for $800. We do the same thing. So, how could somebody do something like that? You know why? Because we're short-sighted. We want it now. We want things done our way. What happened with the people on the day of Pentecost is they waited on the Lord and they waited for the outpouring of His Spirit, and they said, you know what? We're not leaving here till that promise is fulfilled. And they didn't tell God how He's going to do it. But when God empowered them, and this is kind of the first installment that we're going to be talking about the church here in the next few weeks. But today, here's my focus. Every person in this room needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, I'm good. No, you're not. You know, but nobody good but the Father, so take that one away, okay? But what will prevent you from being filled with the Spirit? I want to take away one thing right now. If your focus is to be filled with the Spirit just so you can speak in tongues, forget about it. Just for that reason. God will fill you when you can speak in tongues. That's not the point. But if you think you join the elite club, forget about it. In the same way that I had Arnaud come up here and demonstrate, you know, just by reading that particular little draft I wrote out for him, God has purpose in all He does. And other things I'll be explaining to you in the weeks to come about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, spiritual language, speaking in tongues, prayer language, that type of thing. All that stuff I'll define for you in the next few weeks. But the benefits that are derived by people being filled with the Spirit are amazing. And you know what's wonderful? It's for all of you. Nobody's excluded. But here's the thing. The enemy will tell you, well, you can opt out. You're okay. I got a word for you. You're not. Unless you have totally surrendered 100% to the Spirit of God, you're not okay. God's grace will operate in your life, but you're not okay. You say, well, you're telling me I'm not a Christian. I didn't say you weren't a Christian. I did not say that. But if you're loving Jesus with all of your heart, you'll want everything in your life that He wants for you to be in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've just kind of been researching the Spirit and asking, what does the Lord want us to sing to Him? I know we have a song kind of situated, but we're not going to sing that song. It's a simple little song we know. It's called the Jesus Praise Song. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But then there's one little verse of the Holy Spirit wrote. He says, fill me, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we're going to sing to the Lord in a little bit somewhere in that particular sequence of things. But right now, where you sit, the first order of business is for every person in this room who's either strayed away from Jesus or who's never met Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to turn your life over to Jesus, because nobody in this room needs to be excluded from the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. So with heads bowed and with eyes closed, I want to define some things for you. The enemy will tell you that you're okay. The enemy will tell you that you don't need the Spirit of God. You've got plenty of time. You're too young, or you got other things you want to accomplish. That at some particular point, you'll just turn your life over to Jesus. That's a lie. He's used that tactic for years with people. And they get further and further away from the truth. I want every person who knows how to intercede in the Spirit, I want you to start interceding in the Spirit right now for that person that's being kind of tossed around by the enemy. And I need to ask you this question. Are you ready to be all in for Jesus today? Push everything toward the center of the table. My life, my vocation, my relationships, my marriage, my children, my money, it's all toward the center of the table. It all goes to you, Jesus. I want the fullness of your Spirit in my life today. If you haven't given your life to Jesus today, I want you to lift your hand right and say, you know, Pastor, I haven't, but I want to today. I'm going to do that. Anybody like that, just lift your hand up because I'd love to pray for you. God bless you, sir.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.